Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com. That's abilitychiro.com.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
The stamp, the kick, it's been blocked again! How about it? It's been blocked again! He's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone! It's a touchdown! And the Gators have won the game! Tyree Cleveland, how about it? I can't believe what I just saw!
Dropping back the throw, pops and fires the ball.
Have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. It's your boy Corey.
It's Dan. Oh man. Uh-oh. Nick, you're quiet. Not by choice this time.
Delatory.
And your boy J Scott 2-5. What it do?
What up, 2-5?
Yes, sir. Y'all boys, see, I got the helmet on, man. That means another victory. Let's see, sir. How many more times we can put it on this year. And I'm loving to wear the helmet, even though it's a little tight.
Shout out to that, man. Great weekend. I got to see everybody but Nick. At some point, I ran into Jordan, by the way, Dan.
Yeah. After did the you? Game.
Okay. Yeah, just hanging out. Harlan was trying to run into Cormani, so we was hanging out outside the stadium a little bit, man. Ran into Jordan, ran into P. Ryan. Shout out to my guy, P. Ryan. But good vibes, man. How was y'all weekend overall? I got to see Dan at Jackson Rangers.
No, it was great, man. It was we didn't flick up anything to my parents and Sarah's parents are listening. We flicked nothing up.
We had a pictures, great time. Bro. That's a pick. A flick is a picture, bro.
Oh. See, when I listened to Lil Wayne growing up, flicking it was a little different. But it was an awesome weekend. Started up in Lake City to see Sarah's parents. Had a great time up there, and then came down, got to a pod with Nick Thursday night. So appreciate Nick for allowing us to stay with him, and then was around campus. Sarah ran the Gator Gallop, and then I got to take my parents behind the scenes, and her parents and my family behind the scenes under the football stadium, then into the football only facility. Got to see the equipment room, look at all the stuff that they're doing with helmets and all of that stuff. That was really cool. Got to hang out in the locker room. Got some people looking at me. Wasn't 100% sure everybody in the room was welcoming me there, but I was still there.
Some belt then, to ass on the way.
Yeah, well, had a fantastic time, and then obviously at the game, and I want to thank Dr. Landry for the opportunity with Sarah to be in the president's box for that game. So really cool experience up there, and then came back yesterday, and then Corey, obviously you and I potted, and then, you know, obviously – a big week for the Dan Thompson brand on the internet.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Breaking News Daniel.
Nick?
I met the bitch I'm from Gainesville guy. He was just down the field.
That's a crazy down name to go by.
My brother was sitting next to him. I think I sent you guys the video.
What's his name again?
Yeah, I saw
it. No idea. Video, yeah.
No, what did you just call him?
Guy.
he does videos and he says, "Bitch, I'm from Gainesville." That's like what he says.
Yeah, you're right. I seen him. Yeah.
He said, "The bitch, I'm from Gainesville." Guy, that's a crazy name to go by.
That's crazy.
Man. Shout out, he made good content though.
Yeah.
How does he even get on the field? Who knows?
No clue. Dan was there the day before and left the gate open.
He's just to hop over. You just got to hop a little wall. You'll be all right.
Hop the wall with permission. I'll tell you that. You hop that wall without permission.
Like those guys a couple weeks ago that were 100% on the field.
Unhand me is what you're going to be saying next.
Oh, man. Happy belated birthday to my wife. She took the baby to Tallahassee, so I was bachelor again. But a 36-year-old devoted father bachelor who fell asleep watching the Miami game on Friday night.
Sat down on the couch. You missed a doozy.
Sat down on the couch, woke up at 4 a.m. was like, what the heck just happened?
Greatness.
Happy birthday to Lo. She saw T-Pain in Tallahassee. Tallahassee hero in Tallahassee.
Tallahassee Pain.
She saw Tallahassee Pain.
She went to the game?
No. No. She doesn't care about it. T-Pain was doing a concert.
Yeah. Tallahassee Pain for sure.
Mm-hmm. So Sunday, when Billy was fired, we were shooting our basketball media day. We had all of our non-international guys doing content for throughout the year. So Sunday was very busy.
Nice.
That's nice. It.
A good timing, though. Great timing.
Yeah, we had planned the planned basketball media day like a month ago. And then, like, around Friday, I was like, oh, this timing is not going to be good. This timing is not
going to be good. Time is actually
– I mean, you're talking about polar opposites, right? One firing coach, one fresh off a national championship.
I clear my schedule, personally. Yeah, I drove home at 3 o'clock in the morning to make sure I didn't miss anything.
People
like, you know,
were
I didn't
just leaving salty. And Corey's like, it's time for me to head out of Gainesville and head home. Corey was not at salty drinking and driving. He just decided to leave his hotel at 3 a.m.
Yeah. That type of vibe.
Yeah, man. But I was up there in Gainesville from Thursday. My wife had to do some event with the women's basketball fashion show. I heard a couple other coaches came out there. Jabbar Jalouk and Mike Peterson came out there. I guess to show support. But it was a nice event. Had the family weekend vibes all weekend, hence why I could not make it to the 12 like I wanted to.
No, I get it, bro.
Your plans get changed sometimes. So
already,
I was with.
What was it? Was it your son's first time in the locker room?
Yeah, it was. It was his first time there. My daughter came. Obviously, she ain't going to the locker room a couple years ago. I think I came in 22. I just took on the field, though. She had a blast. But, yeah, I brought my son in the locker room, got him a few pictures with some of the guys. It was all cool, man. It was good vibes in there, winning vibes, you know, music going. Everybody chatting and talking about what they about going on for the night. You know
how Yeah.
It was a good vibe in there.
That's what's up. Yeah.
Well, let's get into the show. Jordan, I wish I could have seen you. I did see you.
You did see me.
Eye in the sky looking down. I'm like, where's Jordan? Where's Jordan? Same with Corey. The ops were out. They were looking for. I was keeping an eye. Just keeping a check.
Moving like the feds all weekend, man. You really was.
I really was.
Inside information. Like, I got to keep my eye on you, bro. I don't know who you are anymore, man.
hanging out with the co-founder of NVIDIA.
Hey, that's that day. Dan, I came out when I said, that's crazy. Like, oh, man.
That's a crazy flex.
And I said, what's up?
I want to shout out. We were leaving, and then I was standing there. We were waiting. I don't remember why we were standing there. And Riedel Anthony wasn't looking, and he walked right into me. Riedel's been a good friend for a long time, but he was with Terry Jackson, so I got to meet Terry Jackson as well, which was awesome. So T Jack's gonna come on the show maybe next week. We'll get him on, but that was it was fun running into those guys. But great weekend in Gainesville. Went to Spurrier's for the first time, other than the DJ Lagway event. Went there to Visors after, and that was a good vibe as well. So good weekend in Gainesville. Good to be back. Don't know when the next time I'll be back, so wanted to enjoy that one. So Corey, let's get a quick Brunt ad read, and then let's get on with the show.
One time for the greatest insurance company in all of the land, Brighton Insurance and Financial Services. Man, Greg is the best of the best when it comes to, you know, great policies, customer service, anything you need insured from the panhandles to the keys, home, auto, your life, you know, motorcycles, boats, RVs. My man Greg can definitely save you money, and it's absolutely free to hit him up at BrightInsurance.com or give him a call at 954-589-2204. Greg,
what it do, baby?
Already.
All right, guys, we didn't talk about this pre-show. Do you guys just want to talk a little bit about the game, and then we'll get into
Nature
being replaced, or do you guys not care? I mean, I don't know what the fans want either.
We can just get into a quick game breakdown. Yeah, we can talk about the game a little bit. We ain't got to get formal with it, bro. We understand the temperature where we at. So let's just chat. All right,
so final score, 23-21, Gators win in a game that they tried to give away multiple times. And then Jeff Lebby out Billy Napier at the end of the game, throwing a pass that ultimately is intercepted by Makai Bureau. So shout out to him. Game pretty even in yards. Mississippi State 468, UF 452. DJ Lagway 280 yards, two interceptions. Pardon me. Jane Baugh 23 carries, 150 yards, one touchdown. Kanan Daniels also ends up with a touchdown. Trey Smack goes 3 for 3, hitting from 24, 54, and 53. The Gators did score in the fourth quarter for the first time since the USF game with a touchdown, or first touchdown since the USF game. They did try a 2-point conversion, and in typical game-changing fashion, it was wiped out.
Whoa.
A 12-man on the field.
You're blaming my game changers. That was a 2-point play. That's the offense.
Still good point, Nick. I take it back. Game changers have been perfect this season. So my apologies. Billy Napier's offense gets 12 men on the field. Just another personnel issue is maybe what I should have said. So ultimately, Gators move to 3-4 heading into a bye week. And obviously that culminated with Billy Napier getting fired. So let's talk a little bit about the game, and then let's go into the firing. Good atmosphere, 16th straight sellout.
Yeah. I thought the energy was good in the city overall. You wouldn't think we were firing a coach, or we was on the verge of one. So just shout out to the fans. Thought the players came out on, you know, playing with some urgency a little bit, you know, like we weren't really clicking on all cylinders, but just from an energy player standpoint, watching the sidelines, thought those guys were up for the gig, you know, trying to play for Billy. One, you could tell it was that feel to it, like it was a one last ride. But offensively, Lagway just couldn't get it going. He had some turnovers, you know, good yardage. Thought he moved the ball well, but, you know, those curls at the sticks, players are just jumping them now. Like, hopefully we can take that out of the playbook now that, you know, it's a different play caller. But yardage-wise, he did well. I thought just over being the commander of the offense, he did well, made a couple of throws. One was late, would have been a touchdown, I think, if he got it out on time. So he got to clean that type of stuff up. Jaden Barr was Jaden Barr. Feed him, you know, 24/7. He is him, you know. Offensive line, I thought run blocked okay. I like to hear the numbers of what it was PFF wise in the passing department. Didn't seem like the best, but defense, you know, they did what they did, bro. Solid, you know, secondary caught some gashes with, you know, a lot of injuries. Devin Moore going out, Cormoney not playing. We got to play two true freshmen in that corner. We actually found a couple of good DBs, I think, and
Javari Flowers.
Definitely Javari Flowers. Mm-hmm. I like the freshmen that were playing corner. Hank's got to clean some things up. He was getting cooked a little bit, but the safety. What's the walk-on safety name? I'm forgetting his name.
Alfonso Allen. He's a walk-on linebacker. Yeah.
No. He's safety.
Oh, is he?
43? I thought
he was a linebacker.
Yeah, 43. Real deal smacker. Incredible.
Great job. Yeah,
he's a tweaker, in the words of Harlem. He's a tweaker for sure. So we found somebody. Lagunza got to play some in that safety position. He's going to be a dude. Some of the guys we got to keep around, because number two is going to be a dude. But overall, not mad, bro. We came out with the win, considering the situations that we were put in coaching wise. Of course, I hated that last series of call, that third down, Lagway taking the sack or even passing the ball while Jaden Ball's getting like 6-7 a pop, which is egregious offensive play calling. I think we get that yard very easily and just put the game away without having to punt the ball and deal with a defensive tackle getting a pick, right? But overall, we got the win, man. We got one more than Norvell's and Florida State's terrible season. So, whew.
Alfonso Allen, you're right, safety. He was the number 19 safety in his class. He went to Baylor and then transferred to Florida. So definitely a talented guy. I thought he had a really good game for a guy that hasn't played much at all in his career at UF. I think he played a little bit in that Tulane game, maybe, but certainly not much more than that.
Real tweaker, yeah, coming down here with the wrong intentions.
he's a special teams guy too, but like in terms of like politics, like you're gonna give, and Florida has been giving Drake Stubbs and Lagonza Hayward reps over him. Like those are guys who are on scholarship, are getting rev share, are Florida victorious, like guys you're investing money into. You know, as we get to this spot in NIL and the college landscape, that's gonna be the same thing in the NFL. Like if you're the seventh round pick and they draft somebody the year after you, in the third, hey buddy, guess where your reps just went? If you're even on the team anymore, your reps have gone to that guy. So shout out to him. He looks good in practice, but like he in his limited reps, that's a being ready when your number gets called. And then I thought Lagonza Haywood looked good. He's somebody. Him and Drake Stubbs are guys who just play the game violently. I think I've told the story before. Drake Stubbs was asking me about like how often they call targeting and what happens. I'm like, I like that you're asking about targeting. Here's how they call it. Please don't get multiple of those. But that's the mentality that those two have. I think I tweeted something like years to come, those two are going to bring a level of physicality to the back end of that safety room.
Now, I did have a conversation all season with those guys on Murky Waters, that space, and they did tell me, I didn't want to hear it, but they did tell me that Allen was making some plays, and he's the guy that they thought was going to get some starter reps, Ryan and those guys, but they were right.
You should have to
play. He should get more reps. From what I've seen, I haven't seen 14 come downhill and smack anything and move like that this entire fall, like either safety move like that and make plays like that, bro. So that kid should be playing. I don't care if he's a walk on, what do you, how much he get paid, put him on the field for sure.
Yeah, I think that was a blessing in disguise seeing him be able to go out there and make some plays, because I feel like we was kind of all shaky at the secondary position and feeling like, okay, we kind of need a guy, somebody that can step up, and to see somebody like that to be like in his position to come and excel right there, you feel like you're doing good. Like one thing about it, this staff didn't know how to get some players. I think we can all agree on that. They're good at finding guys who are just, especially on the defensive side of the ball, obviously offense too. Like we loaded that receiver, talented at in the backfield, and obviously Ladway. But yeah, when you can find guys in the bottom of your depth chart that's still good or great, like that's what really can identify you. Yeah. Having a lot of talent on your team and stuff like that.
Yeah, on defense, Javari Flowers ranked as your second best coverage DB in this, or coverage player just in general. Michael Carraway, Miles Graham, Lagonza Hayward, Bryce Thornton was number one overall. That's your top five. Tough game for Jameer Grimsley overall, ranked as the lowest on defense there. Game time sidekicks cup, huh? I can hear the ice rock. run defense, Aaron Childs leads the team. Alfonso Allen, Brian Taylor, Cam James, and Joseph Mbachu are your top five there. Corey, I think you had a question about pass blocking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ultimately graded out pretty well. Austin Barber, 84. Jaden Ball, 81. Damian George, 74. Jake Slaughter, 73. Hayden Hansen, Najee Harris are your two bottom guys there. Caden Jones, too, I guess. Fine, but it falls off there pretty quickly to Hayden Hansen and Najee Harris, which, by the way, I do feel like after looking at Alex Shepard's photo, which was great, that Hayden Hansen did catch that touchdown in the first quarter.
Definitely.
But I know it doesn't fit the narrative, so I understand.
Narrative, just keep him off the field. Play the receivers, brother.
Let's see. From a receiving perspective, just so everybody knows, leading the team in yards, Vernell Brown, 5 catches on 6 targets for 83 yards. J. Michael Sturdivant, 43 yards on 3 catches. Dallas Wilson, 36 yards on 2 catches. Aiden Mizell, 2 catches for 30 yards. T.J. Abrams, 1 catch for 26 yards. It was cool seeing him out there. Hayden Hansen, 4 catches, 23 yards. Jane Ball, 2 catches for 21, and Amir Jackson, 1 catch for 18 yards. No touchdowns by your receivers. And then in rushing, I think we talked about Jaden Ball, 150 yards on 23 attempts. DJ Lagway, 5 attempts for 18 yards, and Katie Daniels, 4 attempts for 15 yards overall. So.
Yeah, I thought he would have a better game.
Who's that?
Kaden Daniels.
Yeah.
I knew he was going to kind of get a lot more, like, carries in this game. Once I saw him out there, I'm like, okay, they're going to let him spin this game. You know, Duke Clark's hurt. So I'm like, okay, this is his chance to kind of, you know, because I feel like
what was his numbers again?
Duke Clark versus him as being the backup guy. It's like, I'd rather roll with him. I'd rather roll with 20.
4 catches for 15 yards.
But I'll say this. So they ran a jet sweep wildcat package with KD. Like, they in practice, like, KD was a high school. Well, he did everything in high school, but mainly a high school quarterback. Mm-hmm. They will run like legitimate option stuff with him. Whereas have Jaden Ball there, they're just running like regular quarterback power in the wildcat. Yeah. Like Katie Daniels, he has a real threat to read the defense and make a read there.
Right. Yeah, that's definitely a plus in that.
But shout out to him. He gets a Mississippi kid. Gets a touchdown against the state school from his home state.
I think Billy's the most unsuccessful Wildcat runner ever. So I don't want to see Billy. I'm glad he's gone, because whenever we ran Wildcat, shit just doesn't work, man. So KD was probably brought here in a weapon in that capacity, but, you know, it is.
Is it time?
Yeah, we can move on. Like, yeah, I don't think it's
chat ready.
One, none too important on special teams that was standing out.
Shout out to Trey Smack, bro. MVP of the game in my mind, bro.
3 for 3. 2 over 50 yards.
Yeah. We had to move back. You suck a couple times. Like the one kick, it was like a 25 yard. It ended up being like a 40 something, right?
We went from 39 to 54.
That's what it was. Okay. So shout out to him, man.
Game changers.
Mm-hmm.
There it is, Nick. I finally say it. Finally say it. Annoying Nick today. All right. So news comes out. Obviously, we had talked a little bit about it on the show, certainly on Twitter, that it was not a surprise that Billy Napier was going to be let go on Sunday. It makes sense for the bye week. It's one of those situations where it was time. So hopefully wasn't news to anybody that he was going to be fired on Sunday, or a big surprise. Everything kind of happened between the 1 and 2 o'clock hour. It was done before 2 o'clock, 1:45, 1:47, somewhere around there, addressed the team, and moved on. So, or they addressed the team and then moved on, from him. Guys, your thoughts. I can read Scott Strickland's announcement, if you guys care to. I did get the title right, which I'm very, very proud of myself on. No sources can tell you that much. But I think I said on the show, I was waiting for an email that said something in regard to a change in leadership in Florida football. And the title of the email is "A Change in Leadership for Florida Football." So, the official, press release, is here. Let me just pull that up. I'm not going to read the full thing. If you really want to, feel free to. I'm going to highlight a couple of important things here. On behalf of Gator Nation, I want to sincerely thank Billy for his time and his family for their tireless commitment to the Florida Gators. Billy built a tremendous culture of accountability and growth amongst the young men he led each day. His organized and detailed approach had a meaningful impact in all levels of our program. As Coach Napier has often said, this is a results-driven business, and while his influence was positive, it ultimately did not translate into the level of success we expected on the field. He goes on to talk about Billy Gonzalez becoming the interim head coach, which I want to get your guys' thoughts on. Making this decision during the open day provides our team valuable time to regroup, refocus, and prepare for the challenges ahead. The timing also allows us to conduct a thoughtful and thorough and well-informed search for our next head coach. I think it goes on and says, across the University of Florida, there's an unwavering and uncompromising commitment to being the best in everything we do. Goes on, the standards and expectations for the Gators are to win championships, not simply to compete. We exist to win, and we will not settle for less. UF has never been more invested in the success of the football program, elite facilities, robust NIL opportunities, and comprehensive support for our student athlete staff than we are today. And it goes on, but that's it. So take it away.
Take it away.
I feel like this is all we've been waiting for, man. I feel like it's been talked about long enough, especially watching this game. Like y'all said, I feel like this is the perfect way for us to get a nice win where it wasn't like a crazy win for him kind of excelling and we're still getting rid of him kind of deal. So I think we made it right, man. I think watching – I follow a lot of the athletes, and I feel like I see a lot of them posting Billy and stuff, so – I feel for him, man. Like, everybody likes the coach that recruited him and stuff like that. But it's a business, man, and I think we need to make a business decision to kind of – for the players and get them the best chance to kind of make it to the championship while they're there. So as far as who I want, that's another question. But
yeah, we'll talk about that.
We'll get to that. It's levels to the bezel. Yeah, it's just they needed to throw the fans are bone. Glad that it happened. Bye week, perfect timing. Able to get that win, you know, as tough as it is for the players and everybody involved, that's the best scenario to go out, right? Getting some type of win, you know, some type of good vibes. And then, you know, we move on and make that next, you know, transition towards whoever the new coach is. But I think the locker room needed it. The fan base needed it. Especially after that game, just hearing the boos in the stadium, hearing the chants start, the Fire Billy chants after the game, it was just becoming, you know, toxic amongst the fan base. So I think relieving that energy just takes some pressure, because if we hear it, the players are hearing it on the sidelines at the games just as well. So a lot of times in the past, those situations turns into a fan versus the team type situations. In the past, we've seen that happen. So I think this group of guys handled that part of it well. It never turned into that where players are tweeting at the fans back and forth. So, you know, there's some good things to point at from the exit, but it was just time to move on, man. Now, like everything that Scott said, we'll get into, you know, the next hire and what that got to look like. But the things that Scott put out there on paper, the accountability part of it, right? Just, you know, it's a bottom line business. Some of the stuff that came from the report of they had a conversation about offensive coordinator and all that different stuff, right? I thought that was good for the fan base to know, you know, communication wise what was going down. So that transparency was dope from Scott, but it was just time to move on, you know. And I think, you know, we all got our opinions about Scott, mm-hmm. you know, as AD, but considering everything involved, he's handling it pretty good at this point. As far as the, you know, the communicating on the process of things, how it went down. I thought that was dope and transparent.
Yeah, there's a
there he is.
A lot of as Dan has been putting on the timeline, there's a lot of bad information out there. Yeah. Dan's been cleaning up the streets. One, Dan's locked in. I liked Billy a lot as a person. I remember when Frankie was born, he started a press conference by like congratulating Lauren and I. that's just the kind of person he is. Wasn't there when Scott did it, but when Scott says like he took it, you know, graciously, like he gets it. Talked to him, Billy, off the record a bunch about stuff I had written that was like hammering him, hammering the program. And he would always say like, yeah, if we were winning, you wouldn't write that. I'm like, yeah, you're right. Like he got it. He didn't take stuff personally in terms of what we said about him on the field. And he gets it. Like factually, if you take out that he's a really good person, he didn't get the job done and deserves to get fired. When you have that record after 4 years, I think he could. There was a case to fire him last year, based on without that 5-game run and without the hope of DJ Lagway, I think he might not even have made it to this year. I do agree that he's changed a lot of the culture stuff, and not that the culture has been bad at Florida because of losing. I think it just slipped under Dan Mullen, and after 2020, you didn't have accountability throughout the building, and guys were kind of just doing whatever they wanted. I thought he brought that back, but the football wasn't good enough. And you were hired to be a football coach and win games. You didn't win enough. I do agree that the culture is better. I think guys not firing back at fans shows a little bit of that, a little bit of that restraint.
You're talking about coaches or players?
Players. Corey mentioned the players in the past.
There's certainly some coaches that were firing off some things and spending a lot of time being. Would you, I'm going to say this comment, Nick. I'm not going to ask you to agree or disagree because of your position. I do think a lot of this staff is still very immature, and I think that you saw that in some things that they did. And I don't want to take anything away from. Listen, I get it. I know Billy Napier is going to make $10.5 million in the next 30 days. Before Thanksgiving, Billy Napier is going to have $10.5 million before Uncle Sam gets its hold in wired into his bank account. I know that a lot of the assistant coaches will have contracts. They'll get paid out. And I do feel bad for a lot of people that will no longer have jobs at the University of Florida in different roles, maybe some not even related to what the product on the field looks like. And that's going to happen. And I feel for those people. I do feel overall that despite Billy Napier being a nice person and a caring person and somebody that I feel like was probably in theory committed to the job, when you're getting paid $7.5 million a year plus, I don't think he ever desired to make the necessary changes. And not just from an offensive coordinator perspective, but from a lot of the staff that was around and the opportunity that they had. And I think that he took his job seriously. I don't know if he took the role as serious as he should have and the opportunity that he had. And I understand that people are fallible and they're humans. They're not robots. Looking back on the last 3.5 years, I just look at a lot of immaturity in decision-making, a lot of immaturity on the staff. And I think that it's high time that Florida not only upgrades from a head coaching position, but upgrades from a staff perspective. And I think that you're seeing some changes in the athletic department that are going to necessitate a real serious look at the way that football is run. And I would not be surprised if there is not a clean sweep of what happens in the football department. But that's just my little tangent side note.
Well, kind of to that end, I think, you know, when I remember when Billy was, when he got hired 4 years ago and they were doing the announcements, I had a coach reach out being like, how did he get this many staffers? Like my quality of life would be a lot better if I had that many staffers. Florida as an administration, like there was the joke that when Dan Mullen got in here, he was like, I think this is the same carpet Urban had. Like I'm in Urban's office and they haven't even changed the carpet. Like Florida's administration gave more to Billy Napier and his program, more money, more opportunities, and they just did less with more than any coaching staff at Florida has ever had. NIL, you can make the argument, NIL wasn't a thing for those other coaches. But standalone facility, the ability to have you know, 400 people in the building. NCAA rules have also helped that, but like they were given every opportunity to be successful, and every resource to be successful, and they just have not been.
Yep. Yeah. So that's
you're on mute, Corey.
My bad. I was talking on mute. Yeah, I think Dan, a lot of what Dan said, I could echo a lot of that. You know, similar feelings. I think a lot of the fan base feel that way. Like as far as the amount of resources that was given and the opportunity, like for the most part, we wanted to see Billy be successful, right? We liked the way he was building the program, talent acquisition. I don't agree with a lot of things they were doing, but for the most part, I thought, you know, most of the things he were doing were good program building things, you know, like to correct this. We just had to change the offense. It was very clear. Functionally, like things weren't just set up, you know, and I think just a part of having that type of role and the responsibility of being the head coach at the University of Florida, it comes with open-mindedness that I have to change and adjust, you know, to be successful here, because there's a lot of money and resources and other people's jobs depending on my decision making at the top, right? And I think the decisions to keep two offensive line coaches, you know, the way the staff was set up, it was set up in a very flawed way, and it wasn't success, you know, and relationships would have had to be severed, you know, personal relationships for us to get to success, you know, as the University of Florida program. And I think personal relationships got in the way of the University of Florida success, and it's just stubbornness. You know, it was very obvious that most media outlets were saying, the numbers were suggesting that, and just history has suggested that Billy Napier is not a good play caller. Like, it's very obvious, right? And the most responsible thing would have been, like, you know, Scott said in the presser when he talked, would have been to hire offensive coordinator. And that's ultimately what did him in, is, you know, relationships, friendships. You know, him calling the plays was more important, and everybody around him success, you know, the entire thing, the bigger picture wasn't important. Him calling plays was more important than the bigger picture. Right. And he wasted an opportunity in my mind. So, you know, wish all the luck in the future. But I think that's what I think in its totality, bro. It's just a waste of an opportunity, and they could have done and executed in a different way with some obvious things that were flawed.
And if this doesn't speak to it, from what I've heard from now multiple people today, is that they tried to reach out to Charlie Weiss Jr. to be the offensive coordinator this offseason, with the caveat that Billy Napier would still have final call on what plays were actually being relayed into DJ Lagway's helmet. And that to me shows a stubbornness that goes beyond just being nice. And the idea of even what he said a few weeks ago, this is what got us here. This is what got you here, but this isn't what's going to get you there. And that's what I think that we saw, is that Billy Napier did enough in his career at Clemson and Alabama, at Arizona State, to get that Louisiana job. And his success at Louisiana then led him into an opportunity to come to the University of Florida, where this is a different program. You are doing different things. The expectations are different. The expectations are higher. And the expectation is that you've learned and that you're mature enough that you can make the changes when you need to. There was multiple times throughout his career that the offensive line system just wasn't working the way that it was. And you're hamstringing yourself by not having a special teams coordinator or another coach there. They never really made a change, and they never recruited and developed that position super well. They've had some success, but all of those guys that they've really had success with were guys that they inherited, either that they brought over from Louisiana and Osiris Torrance, or Austin Barber and Jake Slaughter, not guys that you brought onto campus. That wasn't working, and you didn't make changes. You then gave the offensive coordinator spot in name only to a guy that 2 years earlier was just an analyst and just got passed up to call plays by Billy Gonzalez for Ryan O'Hara. Man. And so you start to look at all of these things, and despite him being a nice guy, and that's fine. Most coaches are nice people. A lot of them are charismatic. a lot of them do care about the players, and that's how they got to where they are.
Right.
It's just a very sad and unfortunate circumstance, and I don't think it lies fully on Billy Napier. I think as an athletic director, you can encourage them to make changes, and you can do more along the way. I don't think people, again, are perfect, but just because you're a nice guy, it doesn't change my level of sympathy for how it worked out. And
I like that question in the comments for Jordan right there, because Jordan dealt with a coaching change, man. If you throw that on the screen, I think that's a good question.
And I know there's a super chat, and Justin Blair actually had one of the super chats earlier. So, Jordan, just because this is an audio medium mainly, Jordan, you dealt with the coaching getting fired midseason. What is it like to deal with as a player? How did the locker room deal with McElwain being let go in the weeks that followed?
Well, I think it was tough. And just going through it, like I mentioned earlier in the show, man, most of these guys were recruited by this coach. So, as much as all the fans hate him, most of these players probably have a real strong relationship with him. Like, you guys spend each and every day together. Like, it's hard to kind of not like somebody. You have your one or two that hate the coach because they're not playing. But for the most part, you love the head man, and you got a lot of respect for him. So I think a lot of guys end up just naturally playing harder, if you want to say, just because they want to just show the product of what the team was kind of deal, and just still kind of live on for them and do good for them. I think that's the kind of energy that those boys kind of have for it. I took it a little bit personal when McElwain got fired, because part of me kind of felt like it was my fault. I was around the year that we all got suspended and ended up doing some silly stuff. So when you got your two best offensive players out, you feel me, and your coach gets fired, looking at that, you kind of reflect and be like, wow, maybe that was definitely my fault. You know what I'm saying? As the offense is struggling week in and week out, that was a situation where I dealt with it a little bit more of on a personal level. But I lived with a lot of the guys who were still playing, and just getting the energy from them. They were just trying to play as hard as they could for a coach.
What was – go off topic, not or off of our topic a little bit. What was it like when he goes out there that Monday before Georgia week and was like, yeah, we're getting death threats?
I was happy. I was like, oh, I think we got out.
Yeah, no, that was crazy. Once we didn't kind of believe it, but once it started, rumors just kept going around, you know how it was. But it was a crazy week. Yeah, yeah,
because now you have to like look into it. You have to file HR, you have to get the police involved, and
right.
Bro, yeah, Max bugged it out.
Yeah, he bugged did.
It out. It was like, yeah, like he just not talking.
Yeah, man, the pressures of this job have made some people do, like, I'm gonna tell you, like, Billy was the calmest person to ever deal with Florida media. Like, I think that what made us mad more than anything. He calmly came, you know. Everybody, we cracked everybody at some point. Like, we never cracked Billy's coolness or calmness, bro. He would wiggle that bottle a little bit, but outside of that, he dealt with it pretty good, man. Nonetheless, good information. Appreciate you, Scarlett.
Yeah.
What were y'all like doing the coaching search process? Were y'all like, you know, trying to figure out, y'all was Googling, getting information? Like, what was your mindset through that process?
I feel like everybody was on the Twitter vibes. Like, I feel like as players, for real. Unless you like up in the office on some teacher's pet kind of, like, not really, you know, real inside information. But yeah,
then players are like always the last to find out too.
Yeah, like other than that, we just doing our thing, but we going to class, going to working out, playing video games, messing with girls. You ain't over here trying to figure out what the next coach is until it's you feel me, activated, and okay, they just interview so and so. I felt like we kind of learned in the same process as most fans did, for real, and that, like, always blow it up, or we seen somebody on campus or something like that.
So you were around when the Gators were looking at Chip Kelly, Scott Frost, and then ultimately Dan Mullen. Are you guys like talking about it? Are you guys doing research? Do you just not care until a coach is hired? But like, what's that? I mean, obviously everybody's different, but
I think everybody was pretty much different, but for the most part, we were like kind of, we wasn't really locked in to kind of maybe researching or finding out until it was solidified, just because of how much of bouncing around it was. But like, maybe if you were a fan of a coach or two, like around that time with Scott Frost, he was real popular coming off of UCF. So like, maybe he was kind of hyped for someone like that. But other than that, he was just like, oh, okay. But once Dan got hired, Everybody was just like, okay, this is a good hire, obviously, because he was here with Tebow, and everybody started that hype train of him being here when we went to the championship and all that. So I was like, okay, I mean, it looked good for us, because obviously we were struggling that quarterback, and on his resume, he was putting quarterbacks in the Heisman Trophy race every year, whoever it was. Yeah. So it was good in our eyes once we started looking into it.
Because I know, like, we're obviously, like, in tune with Florida, but obviously in tune to college football a lot. And I know, you know, I remember when I worked at the football recruiting office, the one thing that probably surprised me the most was how disinterested, I guess, or just didn't really care about college sports. Like, outside of them being good at football, they really were. So, like, obviously people know the name Chip Kelly. People probably knew this name Scott Frost. Probably a lot of them had been recruited at one point, or at least got a letter or some sort of message from Scott Frost. But I always wonder, you know, outside of a huge name, you know, how interested or how much do these guys know their coach? How much do they care, you know, as a name? I've always just been curious on that side. So that's a really good insight. So.
Yeah, definitely not much. Maybe you'll find like a quarterback who's maybe interested in like another offensive real Monday coach or those two just be ready to play ball, man.
This crew here is a little different. I think they all like into it, like who's going to be next and are like interested and got like heavy opinions. At the presser, just hearing Myles Graham speak, bro, he's that kid's 19 going on 50, like just super mature. Like, you know, I love it how mature this whole group is. Also, him and Ladway both saying they're Gators, but I'm sure they're interested, you know, in the names that are popping up in this, and they got their opinions, and I think they're discussing, you know, because it's a little different now too than your era. It, you know, it's NIL and his business right. involved into it. So, and then the transfer portal is a little bit more fluid than it was then. So, I think they're gonna be, you know, a little bit differently. You know, I would say watching this thing than players did in the past is what I would say.
Like that take. Let's get. We're going to keep on this discussion, so we'll talk a little bit more about what Scott said. But I do want to get a couple quick ad reads. One time for our friends over at Home Field Apparel. Go visit homefieldapparel.com. Use promo code Stadium and Gale at checkout. Get you fit there, 20% off of your first order. Great designs, super soft cotton, really cool and unique graphics for the University of Florida. About 100 different schools that are out there. Go visit homefieldapparel.com. Use promo code Stadium and Gale. And you probably heard a little bit earlier, but the ice in, I think it was Corey's drink, was shaking. Maybe it was Jordan. I was looking at something else. So
wrong Jordan's blood, drink. Yeah.
The ice was still there. Go visit GameTimeSidekicks.com. Really cool. This is a national championship golf, Gators golf one. A lot of great products, great different sizes, from tumblers all the way up to the 32 ounce and anything in between. Go visit GameTimeSidekicks.com. Use promo code STADIUM15 for 15% off of your order. Again, that's GameTimeSidekicks.com. Use promo code STADIUM15 at checkout. Just going to run through a little bit more here on Scott Strickland's press conference today. They are going to use Turnkey ZRG to help them with the search, to be thorough and deliberate. Do you guys want to, or do you want to talk about a different show, like what that search process looks like, or do you think people don't really care?
I think people care, bro.
I think that's really interesting because everyone, one, they didn't use a search firm last time. And
they didn't use the interview process last time.
Scott Strickland will make the hire. That's what AD does. But last time it was basically he had a lot of autonomy to do the search on his own. I saw a lot of fans' reaction today was like, let me save you $10 million. Just go to Oxford. And it's like you have to do more due diligence than just waiting for Ole Miss's season to be over.
Sure.
Yeah. Or standing outside of Lane's house with a boombox, seeing baby come back.
Yeah. Yeah, I will. Why don't we do that a little bit more next week? Because I do think it's an interesting topic. It's in a topic that I know a lot about. It happens to be a part of the industry that I work in. So I'd be more than happy to kind of break that down next week. We can dive into that before we get ready for that Georgia game. But I think it's really interesting, and I don't think a lot of people understand why they exist, especially if you end up landing a top candidate, and you know ultimately what that whole process looks like. But they're going to probably make somewhere in the neighborhood of $400,000 to $500,000, or give turkey ZRG $400,000 to $500,000. And I want to explain to you a little bit more about how and why that process exists. And some of it, just spoiler alert, some of it exists 100% to keep things private, and to be able to have an arm's length distance, and ultimately be able to say you hired the guy that you wanted and you only offered the job to one person, and everything else is due diligence. So I do want to get to some super chats here. Trusted Mortgage said, I bet we could get Kerwin Bell for cheap. Absolutely, we could. Kerwin Bell is not coming to the University of Florida. So that's just wanted to
put that like out at all. We got a restraining order on him.
Yeah, Kerwin Bell is not on the list. He's not on the backup list. He's not even on the same padfolio that the rest of the names are on. Justin Blair asked a question earlier. Hi, B-ball guy here. Thoughts on Josh Heupel to UF? It's an intriguing name. I don't think he is on Florida's list. Has had some success at Tennessee. It would be interesting to hire Josh Heupel from Danny White, after who's the AD at Tennessee, after his brother Mike White was treated pretty poorly towards the end of his time at Florida. But no, I don't think that Josh Heupel is going to make it to UF.
We could act like we want to hire him and just raise, like, make him get an extension. I like to do that.
There's going to be some names that I might throw around just for that sheer purpose.
Yeah.
Corey's talking about that Hall of Fame D-Wade pump fake. Got people every time.
I mean, it got Florida State in the pickle. let's try to get old Tennessee and Heupel locked in something long and crazy. Pause.
If LSU fires Brian Kelly and offers Lane, what are UF's shots at him? What are your guys' thoughts?
It'd be tough. It'd be a tough square up. I still think, like, Lane's, you know, his affinity with University of Florida, which is way out there, bro. Like, LSU's recently won one, you know, getting Florida to that pinnacle again, I think would mean more in his legacy and in his mind. But I also don't think LSU is going to make a move this year. I think they're going to keep Brian Kelly for one more year.
I don't think that this is a good time to go hunting in the market for a new head coach. And I don't know if LSU's at the point with Brian Kelly yet where this is the year that you want to compete. I could be wrong. I think that might save a number of coaches' jobs, actually. Did you see Gus Malzahn basically – or not Gus Malzahn, Hugh Freeze basically begging for a buyout today?
Oh. Did he? Well, I mean, it's the way, bro. You
he was asking. He publicly asked the athletic director to give a vote of confidence for him. You don't do that. You don't do that. FSU is still too poor to make a decision. Yeah, I didn't make it up, Nick. Duardo. So this sounds like a post-mortem talk. How close was Billy Napier for real? It should tell you how next year looks.
Retention is going to be big. And I don't know how much to talk about it because, like, obviously the next coach might come in and the players that we think should be retained, they might not think that. We don't know. But, like, having enough money to – and I think you'll see some of that Wednesday. Spoiler alert. but having enough money to retain players, I think it'll be interesting to see because this new rule where you can't transfer. So a lot of people didn't see this, I guess. They passed the D1 council passed a new rule that you can't enter the transfer portal right away after a coach is fired. So prior to like a month ago, anyone on Florida's roster right now would have an open window to transfer for 30 days. The new rule says you cannot transfer or enter the portal until 5 days after a new coach is hired. That gives the new coach a chance to sit down and meet with players, and the players to, you know, not just start hopping around and have a chance to actually sit down, think about it, and meet with the person who will be their next coach. So some of that will change, I'm sure, with whoever the next head coach is, whoever the next offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator is. But I think the roster, and I think we're all in agreement, so the roster is really talented, especially mm-hmm. these last, especially the sophomore class, freshman class. There's a ton of talent. And I think having the money to retain some of these players will go a long way towards how successful next season is.
Yeah,
I think they'll be fire hot if it's the right hire, right? I think money and excitement with the core of this roster, I think people that with the bread that make those type of decisions is going to be motivated to keep this roster intact if we're making the right hire, you know, with Elaine Kiffin, Marcus Freeman, those, some of those big names that we're hearing, right? The right hire is going to have those guys motivated. So I'm not terribly concerned about player retention. And I think also these guys are going to come in with a different philosophy than Billy Napier, right? He wanted to slow build, and he had a way he wanted to do this thing, you know, that was time consuming. All the guys that we're kind of, you know, pursuing have a little bit more of an aggressive approach with transfer portal. So even with the quarterback position, I think if Lagway's still here, I think the rest of that quarterback room, you know, it's going to be dicey, because I think he's going to get aggressive with bringing competition in, and no matter who the quarterback is, who's starting, mm-hmm. that competition is going to be open and competitive at that spot. He's shown that. So I just don't think it's going to matter with the next guy coming out. I think we could keep the core, and then, you know, free agency, you know, we plug and play a little bit there and get us exactly ready to compete next year for playoffs. Gotta go make the right hire, baby.
Yeah, we definitely got to make the right hire to kind of, because the one thing I want to go to shambles is this offense. I feel like we got so much talent skill wise with the loaded receiver room, running backs. I feel like if we can keep those receivers and at least a couple of the running backs, I would be very, very happy. Maybe a coach that can come in and kind of preach the spread offense and keep, like, because you got to look at it right now, a cat like Nashawn Montgomery, like, how do you think he feels? Like, you look at two freshmen, one's a one and another one's a one. Like, where do you see yourself fitting in as you're not even seeking any playing time at this moment? You feel me? So mm-hmm. I need a coach that can come in and kind of keep him out the portal and keep him grounded, because we're going to need him. I think if we transition to a more spread offense, I feel like he can excel in our offense real well. I think the problem is right now we're just living so much 12 personnel that it's kind of tough to get all those receivers out there. But mm-hmm. yeah, I think that's going to be big time, man. I'm glad that they made that rule change so it can give dudes an opportunity, you know, you feel me, to still kind of play for the logo.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if there's one, I said this on yesterday's show, but if there's one positive of not firing Billy last year, it's this rule change. It's going to help us retain some talent. So I know we kept him probably 1 year longer than we should have, but I think that's going to be a plus. I think we keep more guys than we would have last year.
Right.
Yeah, and I mean, you also ended up with a lot of great guys because he did stick around, and you closed National Signing Day last year about as good as anybody could have expected. You've got a lot of great talent, and I think a lot of those guys will stick around. I mean, I think that whoever takes over this job at the University of Florida certainly is inheriting a much better situation. I think from a structure perspective, I think from a roster perspective, now it's just a matter of trying to figure out how to win and win as quickly as possible. I do think the schedule shapes up a hell of a lot easier next year for the next coach too, taking over. FAU and then Campbell to start the year, the Campbell Camels.
Great baseball school.
We're going to make them look like a great baseball school next year.
Like, he already talking crap.
Speaking of baseball, Nick, is Tennessee's head coach going to the Giants?
Jordan, I'm ready. I'm ready, bro. I'm ready to talk trash again, man.
Let me get on
the lion in the cage, bro. Let me out in the safari, and you know what I'm saying, roam the Sahara, man. Get the lion.
There are more than 300 Division I baseball jobs, Dan. Not that it's not honorable or distinguishable to be a Division I head baseball coach, a national championship one at that. But I would implore Tony Vitello. There's only 30 in the entire world. Only 30 major league head coaching jobs. Not going to come open very often.
It's a GM job. Yeah. No. Buster Posey's moving out of the box. Yeah. Oh. Or did I read it wrong?
You read it wrong. Buster Posey is the new GM. Second year.
Oh.
He's trying to hire Tony Vitello to be the manager.
Yeah, Nick's 2-0 this match, man. Nick's up 2-0.
Only 30 of those jobs in the whole world. Tony, it's not that I don't want to see you at the University of Tennessee. I just think this is the right time for you to make the move. Would be a terrible move for Tennessee to lose their head baseball coach in October. But
I mean, I'm sorry.
Decision, Tony, only 30 of these jobs in the entire world, and one of them has been offered to you.
Hands up, accountability. I read it wrong. I thought they were hiring him to be the general manager, so not the manager. Because in baseball, they call them
managers. So the coach.
Tony would generally manage the baseball team from day to day. So you were there?
I was there, just wrong. Wrong completely on where they sit during the baseball game and whether they have to wear the full kit and caboodle on the field and act like, hey, if we're down too many guys, I'm going to be out there at second base.
Yeah, that is weird that baseball coaches got to wear like the jerseys, bro. They got to change that.
That's history. There was a lot of manager coaches.
Yeah, but it's been probably about 70 years. You know what I mean?
Pastime. Pastime.
Man.
I think it keeps you accountable in the offseason. Like, hey, man, you still have to wear baseball pants when the season starts.
Just like,
go take a walk.
Relief pitcher.
All right. JP, super chat here. What's good, fam? Hope everybody's been doing well. JP, sad that you're going to have to change that photo. High hopes for this coaching search, but it's going to be Summerall, isn't it?
Oh, man, don't say that, bro.
Blessings. and that's going to lead me to my other tweet here from Jamin Heron. I unfortunately am not allowed to say who those four are. It is not something that is wanting to be public, but from everything that I know, is that Florida has narrowed. It doesn't mean that there couldn't be somebody else or that things don't change, but
you're not even giving the names, so it don't matter, bro.
But the way that I understand is that there are four, and we will do a post
in my DMs, man. $100 a DM, I'll let y'all know, bro. Like, you know, I gotta sell this info. I'm being frank, I get you the four, man.
Let's see everything,
I know fans want transparency, but I just don't know that putting names out there helps the search.
No, it doesn't. Putting dollars, contracts, putting names out there, anything doesn't help. I assure you, and I promise on the show, and you can clip it, it's at 102.42, that after this search is done, I'm more than happy to tell you who Florida was targeting on October 20th. And it's not about being hush-hush, right? There's a comment here. It's not about being hush-hush to do anything other than it does no benefit to the University of Florida, to schools, to potential other suitors that are out there. Like, none of the four names are names that, like, you guys are going to be, like, overly surprised and, like, some dark horse candidate, right? So, but it does no good for me
get your clout
put it out,
bro. Get your clout up, Dan. Put that joint out
my
there.
My clout,
man,
is up. I'm shooting.
I'm giving you a hard time, man. I'm just talking, man. But if y'all want that four, just hit my DMs. oh, man. Good times, man. I love this show.
And Gator Bags, that is not true. So, and I'm not Hoop Shiz, not hoop shiz. And no, Brian Fisher, I never said I was saying it on the show today. And so here we find
He's not hoop shiz, or else he would
I wish we tried to get hoop shiz on the show a couple years ago.
Dan would be sitting here saying Ed Orgeron is already in the building. that plane that he was on to Gainesville that's been circling Gainesville Regional Airport for 4 years with infinite fuel has finally landed, and he's taken his job. Now, hoop shiz has been right about a lot of recruiting stuff.
Mm.
Certainly wrong about a lot of coaching stuff. So I wonder who hoop shiz could be.
Yeah. obviously, big news that was out there. Kurt Cignetti signed his contract extension.
Bro,
$11.2 million.
We went from like
what a payday, man.
I'm not a beat writer anymore, but beat writers all across the country after James Franklin was fired and that number was thrown out there. Everyone for 48 hours was like, hey, we gotta reel these coaching contracts back in. And Indiana said, hold my beer. We're gonna give our guy who's late 60s, we're gonna give him $96 million guaranteed.
Mm.
That's his. Please stand.
He's just crazy. 64. He's not in his late 60s yet. But 90 mid-60s. Million guaranteed?
That's crazy. Mm. That's an
insane amount of money.
Yes. Yes.
Crazy. Bro.
Like, yes. do you guys think that, like, when does this bubble pop?
When Sexton passes away, unfortunately.
I mean, I saw the photo of him the other day.
It's the he's a cheeseburger away from being out of here. I'm gonna be honest with you, bro. But he looked nuts, you know. With all due respect, but it's set up like, you know, like the mob, man. Like you negotiating with the same for the most part. There's a few that has, you know, agents. I think Freedman agents, not Sexton. So you got a few that don't use them, but for the most part, bro, like he hold all the cards. I mean, Billy was able to get what he got out of Florida because Sexton held all the cards. They know exactly every other coach, what you're offering every other coach. It's usually under his umbrella. So, like, you're negotiating with several coaches with the same agent. Hmm.
Yeah, you've got to get somebody else to become an agent. Get some of these big names.
A lot of that stuff that was written is like, hey, it's getting more like the NFL. And NFL, like, there's a lot of guys, and not most of the roster, but there's a lot of guys on rosters that make more than the head coach.
Yeah.
That, you know, that's not the case. We just keep seeing head coaching contracts go from, like, I think
head coaches are the stars of college football, man. That's how it was set up for so long, right? Because there's nobody to really pay. You know, like, where is the most of all of that profit going to? And it goes to the coaches. So they become the stars of these teams. The players change 4 years. It's not like the pros, right? So the guy that's going to be around longer most likely is going to be the coach. So it's just the way it is. I just think the buyout clauses and the exit routes are beneficial to the coaches as well.
Yeah.
I like when some of the language around Franklin's was, if he's performing poor, it drops, right? You can't get a bonus, bro. There's no incentive to change and go get an offensive coordinator if I'm getting $20 million when you fire me. Like most jobs, bro, if you don't perform well, like you're in the unemployment line. There's no bonus on the way out. So you're forced to change and do better.
I feel like sports is the only job where it's not incentive based, right? Most CEO jobs are tied to cutting costs and increasing revenue. And stock prices and your options, right? And a lot of CEOs get paid very handsomely when their company does well and very unhandsomely when the company doesn't do well. And they're often, you know, I know that there's golden parachutes and everything else. Like we will move beyond that. But college sports seems to be the one that once you get that ticket, you're done. And I think you were talking about Sam Pittman about performing poorly or if he was fired under 500, his buyout was X. And if he was above 500, his buyout was Y. And, you know, they certainly made the decision when he was under 500. I do think that we're just getting started, I think, on silly season in coaching searches, because I think that there's going to be a number of other jobs that open up. And I think that there could be a couple surprises that if certain people leave certain jobs for others who might be interested in other jobs. And there's one that I'm looking at with a California school and a California coach maybe looking to leave to go somewhere else. And would that school go and hire somebody that is historically a West Coast guy that is not to go to the West Coast and what that could do? So I don't want to throw hyperbole out there or hypotheticals, but I do think we're just getting into the start of silly season here. And I do think that you're going to see a lot of schools set their personal record on amount of money that they're going to spend or the amount of money that Jimmy Sexton takes home this year.
Very nice for him, at least.
Must be nice. What else? I think that's kind of it. We talked about a lot. I mean, that's where we're at. That's where we're at, guys. We have
who y'all like. Who y'all like before we get out of here? Who y'all like?
I think that Lane Kiffin makes the most sense.
I think fit-wise, like Lane Kiffin, you know, checks a lot of the boxes for me. You know, offensive-minded, understands the culture, you know, innovative, hires well. I think he just checks a lot of boxes. It'll get a little weird if he loses to Florida again this year. You know, if Billy G run down on him, it'll be a little awkward. But, you know, every coach is going to have their flaws. He has some flaws in his game and his resume. But, you know, I don't think Lane's hit his prime yet, I would say. I think he has another gear. I think Florida, he could tap into that next gear.
Yeah, man. I don't think Lane will be a bad hire. Obviously, he's done good enough at Ole Miss. Obviously not. I don't know. First, let me get a question for y'all. If he does at Ole Miss what he does at Florida, do you think he stays as the coach? His record, everything like that.
He'd still be retained right now, I think.
You think he would have made it through his full contract, however many years it was? Right. Okay. Yeah, Nick knows. He's out of here. That over here.
That's why he's been getting like 10 wins. I don't think they fire him if he's consistent to get 9-10 wins. I don't think this AD, they barely want to let Billy go.
I think it makes everybody happy. I think it checks all the boxes, but just looking at what he did at Ole Miss, I honestly do not think if he came to Florida, the same identical thing of what he done at the start of Ole Miss to now.
Oh, no, these fans aren't going to be happy, but do I think he'd be fired? Nah. I don't think he would be fired.
I don't think he would be fired. He went 5-5 during COVID. Then he went 10-3, 8-5, 11-2, 10-3, and now 6-1.
Yeah, I think he'd be okay here with that, bro. Of course, fans are gonna be, oh, we need to make the playoffs, like, because this is a tough fan base to coach for. That's right. Just what it is. It's always gonna be that way. But I think he'd still be employed if he was doing the exact same thing that he was doing. You know, the recruiting, I think there'd be some frustrations on that behalf as far as high school recruiting. But I think a lot of that, you know, the issues he's having at Ole Miss, I think he can fix a lot of that if he hires appropriately, you know, and delegate the recruiting to, you know, the right extent. But he can't just neglect it, I would say, like Mullen did. Mullen just neglected it. He didn't really make the right moves. Even if you don't care about it to a certain extent, you need to hire that way and get the right, you know, relationships, people from South Florida, et cetera, to make sure we hit certain players.
Yeah. You know, and I wonder, you know, if this next coach doesn't keep some of these staffers. You know, I know that Katie Turner is engaged to David Decker, who's on staff, and he'll probably go land somewhere. You know, they got married. I'm sorry. So, you know, what is that situation look like? You know, I wouldn't be surprised if like a Joe Hamilton stuck around, if a few others stuck around, but
we need to keep Joe.
It's a hell of a lot easier to recruit in Florida than it is in Mississippi.
100%.
No matter how much money you have and everything else, like a lot of these schools are throwing around like similar ish type of numbers, right? Like obviously there's some schools that'll pay more and some schools might pay you significantly more than another, but we're not talking about trying to build a roster for the Miami Marlins and the Los Angeles Dodgers, right? Like we're within the same, I try to make that for you, Nick, so you could be a little bit more involved in my analogy here. but, you know, I think it's going to be a little bit easier at Florida. And I also think that the expectations are going to be laid out much differently. And I think that you're going to have a little bit of a vetting process. I like Lane Kiffin a lot. I think that there's still a lot of moving pieces. I don't think Lane Kiffin is going to sign a contract extension in the middle of the year. That's not how agents work. You know, Kurt Cignetti, I think, is a little bit different, but these guys aren't going to leave leverage on the table. And I do think that Florida is going to very much go after him. I think if you look at my list that I put on Twitter, those are some names that you should, you know, maybe be somewhat familiar with.
Brent Key, man. I like Brent Key as a coach, but not my coach. I just don't know what happens offensively if we were to bring. I seen that in the comments, so I'm just commenting on that, responding. Hey, I don't know what happens offensively because I think Georgia Tech will retain that offensive coordinator as their head coach. So I don't know what I'm getting out of. I think where we're at, too, I need a longer track record of success for what we're in need of right now from a head coach. So Jeff Braun is also a name that I love. I'm not saying he's on the list in what's in any capacity, but that's also a name I love.
Yeah,
was he on anyone's list like prior to beating Miami?
I think
I've liked Braun for years, but I don't think it's an option because he's alumni of Louisville. So I really don't ever even throw him on these coaching search lists because of that reason.
I think he's a lot more than just like an alum, and as not an attack on him, what you just said, Corey. I think that he is like the first family of the city of Louisville right now. I think that he's very well respected. If you look at Bet Online, they have some prop bets out there. If you're looking, the list is Lane Kiffin plus 200, the favorite, Jeff Braum plus 300, number two, James Franklin plus 600, number three, Eli Drinkwitz plus 700, Marcus Freeman plus 800, Urban Meyer plus 900. Please don't waste your money and make that bet. Jed Fish plus 1,000, Alex Golish plus 1,200, Brent Key plus 1,200, Kenny Dillingham 1,400, Rhett Lashley 1,600, and then it gets into silly season with like John Gruden and Joe Brady and Jeff Monken and so on and so forth.
Josh Prey said call Dion.
Yeah, I saw that. That's why we don't have him on the show. See, Jaws, my favorite Twitter follower, said Braum's up there with Ali, Muhammad Ali in Louisville, but he's a great candidate. I just don't think that Jeff Braum's gonna leave.
Right. That's why I never added
a number of coaches that won't leave. Dan be on it, but it funny. I hope he's talking about me being funny. I think that's what that means. That's what it means.
On what? What you be on, bro?
It. Pause.
Yeah, pause.
Pause. I don't want to necessarily be on it if it's everything. But if it's it on telling jokes, I'm that guy. All right. Yeah, be specific. There's going to be a lot. Please don't expect Florida to have massive news when it comes to coaching over the next 6-7 weeks. Support the guys. Support the players. Just wait.
Yeah. And just vibe out. Follow Dan's lead, man. Dan was in the car. He told Hugh and Condren to sit in the car. I'm gonna go talk to Scott real quick, give him this ultimatum. You know, y'all boys vibe out.
And Dave was right about that, by the way. There was one booster there. He caught some hell. He caught some hell.
It was you, bro. You told them boys sit in the car. I'm gonna go talk to Scott real quick.
It's the news that I like is true. News that I don't like is not true. I know Dave was right, but like that's not what the mob wanted to hear in the moment.
Because they know where it came from.
but it is true. But I mean, like, despite who or what,
that's you Scott know, called Dave. True. We don't want to hear that, man. It's
true. Shane Matthews wants Kerwin Bell, if not Lane Kiffin.
Shane Matthews wanted Kerwin Bell This will be the I started covering Florida in 2013. So next year will be my 14th season, I think. And Shane has wanted, it'll be my fifth coach in 14 years. And Shane has wanted Kerwin Bell all five times. So like, yeah, we don't need to update that. Shane wants Kerwin Bell. We get it. It's not going to happen.
If Florida hired the head coach of Western Carolina Catamounts,
yeah. Yeah.
And his name wasn't Kerwin Bell, it was just like John Smith.
And them folks saying Shane didn't say that, man. You smutting Shane name.
Shane did not say that. All right, that's what I get for trusting the comments out there. So the comments out there. All right, guys, let's get out of here. One final shout out, Corey. You have song of the week, I believe. One final shout out for our friends over at Alumni Hall. Go visit alumnihall.com or go visit them in Gainesville on Archer Road. When my family was in town, they swung by there on Sunday. So hopefully they treated them as well as they're going to treat you. So go visit alumnihall.com. Go visit them in Gainesville right by Archer Road. Shane Matthews wants to hire Lane Kiffin. Steve Spurrier wants Lane Kiffin too.
Let's do it.
If it's Steve wants it, I want it. I grew up on Spurrier, right, Corey?
Yeah, bro. He raised me.
Spurrier raised me. That'd be a great shirt.
Yeah, bro. How do we 63-3 games, bro. 75-2. Like those type of Sunday mornings I had, fam. You know.
Shout out to Alma Mater here in Gainesville. Running wild with a shirt.
Oh,
the yes. team salty versus team dog shirts.
That's fire. Great idea.
Yeah, I've got people like, first off, it's a joke. I have people, I'm not going to go full Mac away. I'm not getting death threats about it, but yelling at me about calling it salty. Right, listen, that's what we called it when we were in college. But yes, I will be buying a blue shirt. There'll be at least one, whatever that, I can't remember who it was.
Hey, Salty or Balls owner, if y'all want me to choose a side, my DMs is open.
No, Salty, it's a Salty Dog, is just one.
Yeah, it's not Balls. And we might be taking legal action against the one person who said that I like Balls. The book.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I saw that.
Might be taking legal action for slander.
Yeah, you don't normally respond to people that have, you know, less than 100 people following them. And I saw a very random account. I'm like, what's Nick doing?
I got stuck in traffic on the way home. Atrocious traffic on the way home today.
Sounds like my life, bro. Yeah.
Spurrier raised me. Nick, can you ask Steve how we can do that? We can use his NIL. Can we, like, give his, like, son, like, a buyout, you know? Something like that.
We just become junior.
Oh, I mean, junior is not going to have a job in 5 weeks. I just want to have a shirt that says Spurrier raised me. I don't know how it works. I guess as long as it doesn't say Steve Spurrier. Let's look into it. If you're an attorney and you know anything about trademarking, the only thing I know how to trademark is the list.
Man, Steve going to run down on us. We put that shirt out without him.
I've seen him walk. I'm not worried about him. Lawyers. Corey.
You haven't seen his lawyers walk.
That's true.
Cease and desist hit your email.
Yeah, I don't want that. More of an idea. Right. All right, let's get out of here, Corey. Song of the week.
Dave East and Ransom dropped the album together earlier this year, bro. They got a song on there called Exotic Prayer Rugs. Pretty dope.
We might be doing a Gator panel this week. There were some talks, so be looking out for that. Gator Bags One, who has had a lot of really interesting comments, if you want to look through them today, I'll reach out. Please, we'd love to have you reach out. Other than that, we appreciate you guys. We'll be back definitely for game day eve at the end of this week. And other than that, go Gators. Bye week. Go enjoy the week. See you guys.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.